at the end of Parshas Matos, we have the story of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. And that story is fascinating because you see that the east bank of the Jordan River becomes part of Israel. The fact that B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven are there. One thing, though, that's very interesting is that they're the only ones who ask for the land. They have large heads of cattle and sheep, and it's great pasture land, especially up north. You know, you have the incredible grazing land for herds of sheep and cattle. But what does Hashem do? Hashem puts Chatzi Shevet Menashe on the east bank of the Jordan River. Not the whole tribe, but part of the tribe. And the way the Rav explained it was that was a way of unifying Klal Yisrael. Even though you have this geographic boundary, and the fear is you could end up with two separate nations, you know, the East Bankers and the West Bankers, you know, the, so to speak, the Jews living in Jordan, Syria, the Jews living in Israel. Hashem, by splitting up Shevet Menashe, where you have family members and you have a whole Shevet that's on both sides of the Jordan River, what that enables is a unification. The fact that they're one people, even though they're on both sides of the Jordan, it's Ma'ached Diam. It unifies the nation as well. So even though they weren't part of those who asked for this opportunity, nevertheless, Hashem puts them there in order to unify, that we should never have a situation that we have two peoples, two nations, you know, with two countries. The other idea that you see is more of a halachic idea that the Rav spoke about. Kedushas Haaretz, you know, when we say about Kedusha, we're talking about Truma, Maser, Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, Maser Ani, etc. That's something that's defined between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean, okay? That's Kedushas Haaretz, you know, in terms of where you can bring the Omer from, where the Shtei HaLechem can come from, etc. However, there's another concept. In the Rav quoted his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He wrote about this extensively when he taught the Mishnayos and Chala, when he taught Sugyas in Masechta Truma. But there are others who said this, Rav Naftali Trapp and others, that there are two concepts. One is a concept of Kedushas Haaretz. The other is a concept of Shem Eretz Yisrael. What is it, Shem Eretz Yisrael? That something is defined as Israel. Even if it doesn't have the Kedusha, for instance, the halacha of where can you be Mekadesh the Chodesh? Where can the Sanhedrin define time? Another example is the halacha of Egla Rufa. Okay? These are phenomena, these are halachic categories that are tului, that are contingent upon Shem Eretz Yisrael. Shem Eretz Yisrael, the name of Israel. So you can have something that has the Shem Eretz Yisrael, like Eiver HaYarden, without it having Kedushas Haaretz. So whenever we deal with an issue that's associated with Israel, we have to ask that question. What is a function of the legal status, the sanctity, vis-a-vis the halachas of Truma and Maaser and Shemitah and Yovel? And what is has the status of Israel in terms of the shame, the name of being Israel? So those mitzvot that are contingent, you know, giving smicha, egla arufa are examples, kiddush achodesh, that you have, that even applies to Eiver HaYarden. And then the last point is this. The famous pasuk where Moshe says, if you, the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, if you follow your what you promised, you're willing to come, be at the front of the troops, conquer all the land on the west bank of the Jordan River, conquer the land between the Jordan and the Mediterranean, and you, by your own volition, are also willing to help the Jews settle that land. The Shiva of Kibush and the Shiva of Yishuv, meaning the 7 years that it took to conquer the land of Israel on the west bank of the Jordan River and the 7 years that it took to settle the land of Israel. Then, v'hiyisem nikiyem mei Hashem um Yisrael. Then you'll be innocent, you will be free from that which you obligated yourself to, that which you made contingent. If you do all of that, you will be truly naki, clean and innocent. And therefore, then you can settle on the east bank of the Jordan River. If not, if you don't fulfill that, then you're going to settle with the other 10 tribes on the west bank of the Jordan River. But that famous phrase, v'hiyisem nekiyem mei Hashem um Yisrael, famous principle that comes up from that. One is a principle of chashad. A Jew cannot do things that put us in a state of suspicion. Or the other term is marasayan. Marasayan is not just that we're put in a state of suspicion, but marasayan is something that people could learn and do the wrong thing based upon our actions. Chashad is something that cannot be done in public, in front of others. Marasayan, the appearance of the eye, that can't even be done b'chadrei chadarim, even in a closed, sealed room where no one can see it. Okay, so we have those two categories that are extensions of the principle of v'yisem nikiyim mei Hashem u'mi Yisrael. And the Rav said, remember, today everyone knows when you have coffee rich or almond milk on the table, everyone knows it's coffee rich. They don't think it's milk. But initially, with the introduction of coffee rich, there was always the fear. Hey, why are you putting milk on a meat table? And there's a debate. Does that principle of the chashad, marasayan, putting the coffee rich bottle, putting the coffee rich carton to show, or putting a special sign saying this is almond milk, this is coffee rich, this is soy milk, it's not milk from a cow, it's not something which is chalavi, that obligation to put the sign or to put the carton there, does that apply only by when you're eating something which is basar, or even by something which is basar midrabanan? Okay, even by something like chicken, which the prohibition of chicken and milk is only a rabbinic prohibition. So that's the question. Do you have to, it's a debate, by the way, amongst the Achronim. The Ramah and the Marashal have this debate, okay? Where one says it only applies by Doraisa, that's the Ramah. The Marashal, who's quoted by the Shach, in Pei Zayin Sivvav, in Yoredeya Pei Zayin Sivvav, he says that it even applies to chicken, to fowl, to chicken and turkey, okay, to place the almonds near the almond milk, okay? So I'm quoting the Rav. It would appear that the difference, the machlokus, between the Ramah and the Marashal is based upon two possible rationales for Marasayan. According to the Marashal, Marasayan is an extension of Lifnei Iver Lo Siten Michshol. Lifnei Iver Lo Siten Michshol. So we don't want to put a stumbling block before the blind. We don't want to cause someone to sin. Then that would even apply by an Aveira de Rabbanan, even if you were serving chicken, not just if you're serving beef, okay? The Ramah, on the other hand, seems to explain the way we explained it, that what is Marasayan? It's not coming from the principle of Lifnei Iver, but it extends from the principle of the Hayisem Nikiyim Mei Hashem U'mi Yisrael. Okay, if that's the case, then that principle, the prohibition is based not on Lifnei Iver, but on v'hiyisem nikiyim, being innocent in the eyes of God and the Jewish people, then if that's the case, okay, it would only apply by a doraisa. It would only apply by a doraisa and not by a din derabbanan. Lifnei Iver is by any sin, Torah, rabbinic, you name it. Not so when it comes to v'hiyisem nikiyim mei Hashem im Yisrael, that they applied by dini doraisa, that extends to, but not dini derabbanan. And then, of course, the Rav went on to quote the Gemara in Yuma. Those who are learning the Daf Yomi are familiar on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph in Yuma, that the Garmu family, the base Garmu who prepared the Lechem Aponim, they would never have this really beautiful, clean, white bread in their house. Even if it came from regular chulin, no one should suspect they were taking from Hekdesh. And likewise, the base Avtinus, the Avtinus family who prepared the incense, the Ketores, they put into the Ketubah that their daughters or daughters-in-law would not wear perfume. They would not be perfumed because no one should say that that gorgeous fragrance came from the Ketores. That's again, ve'yisem nikiyim mei Hashem u'mi Yisrael. It's a kiyum of that mitzvah. No one should suspect them of what? Of taking hekdesh and being moel, you know, misappropriating hekdesh funds.